Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The Morning Show. The Home Team. No, it's both. It's the Crossover.
Crossover! Step back!
Presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen right here on 960theref.com.
All right, it is the Crossover Podcast presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville. Also in Five Points. Not quite crossing over today, though. This is just an abbreviated version of the Home Team. Chris and Jeff along with you. Dave is out this week, but we've got some action here on the podcast. Thanks always to Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen. And thanks to you for listening to us. However you are, you can subscribe on iTunes, get us there. You can listen anytime on demand at 960theref.com or download the 960 The Ref app. Find that in the App Store if you're on an iPhone. Find it in Google Play if you're on an Android.
Great to be here with you, Chris. I stepped in for you last week with Dave, and I just got to say this about that. I love Fully Loaded. That's one of my favorite spots. And we definitely, during the months of April and May, which lasted several hundred days, got a lot of takeout from there. Fantastic wings. They do have good cold drinks at Fully Loaded. And my personal favorite is that they've got a great chicken parmesan, and they'll even grill the chicken. You can get it fried or grilled. I probably shouldn't say that. Maybe they just do it specially for me. But I love Fully Loaded. Get that Greek salad, no onions. And yeah,
they have a pizza called the Home Team too. Well,
absolutely,
so which I don't think is named after us, but we can pretend it was.
Well, I say tell Kel and the gang we need to get naming rights for that. They've also got the Walter White.
Yep.
So yeah. I love me some Fully Loaded, and just for me, in Five Points, right down the road, it's an easy walk for us. I got a great deck down there, and I know for you being an Oconee guy, easy trip for you. Down into Watkinsville.
Yeah, I pass it pretty much on my way home all the time there in the old Manders Shopping Center off of Mars Hill Road. So, yeah, we got baseball coming back is big news. An abbreviated 60-game schedule we can touch on, but let's start with some Georgia football, because I know there was a roster was released the other day, and I started doing some math on it. I count 89 scholarship players on here, and you can only have 85, so some attrition is to be expected between now and Labor Day night.
One or two, maybe, and I do believe that a couple of the players who signed in February are preferred walk-ons who got the hope and got a full ride coming in.
Okay.
So those don't count against your athletic scholarships. Don't put me fully on record for that, even though I just said it here on one of the most famous podcasts in the entire world here. But I think that's probably how some of that works out. But usually there is, you know, there's an injury or two, or maybe somebody chooses to not play anymore. But I think that's a big part of that. So, you know, Kirby's been tremendous at managing the roster. And, you know, Chris, obviously the latest addition was the transfer JT Daniels from Southern Cal,
who was in my count of 89 all of a sudden. That pops in there. Now, a lot of times this is stuff that sorts itself out during spring, when there's spring practice. Is suddenly, yeah, well, he's medically not going to be able to go anymore, but you know, there was of course no spring practice and everyone's been sitting around, so they're back on campus now with voluntary workouts and whatnot. But receiver is the position group that's got the highest count. I believe there are 13 guys on scholarship, unless a couple of those are who you were talking about that might be on the hope getting that status there. But I've got 13, including what was a pretty bountiful crop for the incoming freshmen. What were there, six there?
Yeah, it was a big number, Chris. And I think the other thing at receiver, that's where you got to start asking how much – bang for the buck are we getting here? Obviously, Pickens and Blaylock, those guys from the class of 2019, they're high-end players. And you've got all the incoming freshmen this year. And Justin Robinson, I believe, was the only early enrollee.
I think so, yeah.
But as you said, no spring practice. And hopefully, you know, by a couple of those guys can make an early impact. And then maybe one or two by the time the Florida game rolls around and we're at the midpoint of the season, that you'll have one or two of those guys really get up to speed with everything. But, you know, the big deal at receiver, and especially with the Jeremiah Holloman situation last year and with Mecole Hardman and Riley Ridley turning pro, I mean, you just look at it, Chris, again, going back to the bang for the buck, those classes of 17 and 18 at the position, Georgia just hasn't gotten much, if any, production from there. So I think that's going to be another key. Can maybe one of those guys, like a Kiaris Jackson, step up? And then also, as a fifth-year senior now, maybe, just maybe, Demetrius Robertson could have a big year at the position. And he did have, Bramer, just watching a few of last year's games on replay, he did have a sneaky number of big catches last year. So I would think maybe this could be the chance for Robertson to elevate his game, because obviously we're all fingers crossed, but you just don't know with Blaylock, with that knee injury. It happened, what was the day of that game, December 7th?
Yeah.
So, you know, hopefully he's 100% from the get-go, but you just don't know.
I did notice him making a cameo in that initial video that was produced by the school, with the players coming back and getting there when they were allowed back on campus. You paused and went, hey, look, that's Dominic Blaylock. So that was at least good. I almost called him Mookie, but that's his dad. But, yeah, between Pickens and Blaylock, and then Robertson really is the guy you'd got to hope would step in there, because otherwise you're just going to lean on having maybe one of these freshmen be able to eventually have the type of impact that Blaylock and Pickens did last year. Because those, between what Matt Landers, Blunt, Kiaris Jackson, and I guess with Tommy Bush, you know, they've been here for a couple of years, and I think the four of them have one combined touchdown catch, and that was Matt Landers grabbed one in the Sugar Bowl against Baylor. That's it.
So that's and again, where there just hasn't been a lot of production. Now, Kiaris Jackson, he jumped in there. He had a couple of punt returns, but he was at the Vandy game, even the opener, when he broke his arm or hurt his arm.
Yeah,
so
it was early.
Yeah, so maybe Jackson's a guy who'd have a chance. But, you know, knock on wood here, best case scenario, if Blaylock was close to full speed at the start of the year, and by the way, I know that the ACL recoveries now, it's amazing how much quicker they come out. So what you just said there, with Pickens, with Blaylock, and with Robertson, if those guys continue to progress, you feel like that'd be a good trio, and then maybe one of the freshmen could come in and, say, be the number four. But, I, you know, the other thing that happened with all the injury, with the attrition at wide receiver last year, it was just hard, and we all saw the struggles in the passing game consistently. It was just hard to get that timing down. You know, you think about it in the NFL, most NFL teams, they might carry five receivers, but you usually see about four. I just think it's difficult for a quarterback to get that timing down with more than really three, four guys at that position. And by the time, you know, the LSU game rolled around, I remember looking out there late in the second quarter and seeing who all we had out wide, and they were guys that were basically, you know, third and fourth teamers when preseason practice was going on. So number one, you're not going to match up with a team like that, and then number two, it's not like that's what you were going through daily and weekly in practice.
Yeah, I mean, Jamie Newman is a good case of that. If you look at his season last year at Wake Forest, they got off to a hot start. I remember a year ago, it was watching Clemson just go through its schedule after that scare against North Carolina, and like playing nobody after nobody after nobody, and their Wake Forest was undefeated. Like, hey, that's going to be their biggest game of the year. But then their top receiver, Sage Surratt, got hurt. Then their number two guy got hurt. And, I mean, you know, toss the Clemson game out. I mean, just about anybody's going to have a terrible game at Clemson. But, you know, the rest of his year was, he was completing less than half his passes. And it just didn't look good, but also he lost his top two receivers and they never came back. So, you know, there's just that point about trying to, you got timing down and you got a good chemistry going and suddenly guys aren't there. But, you know, that's where hopefully Pickens and hopefully Blaylock can be healthy and at least one other guy can step in there.
Would you say Robertson's the best candidate right now?
He would have to be because he's a senior. And because you really couldn't say, even with as highly touted as these freshmen are, that you're going to be able to lean on either of them to do it. And I mean, I just hate to say it, but the other four guys we mentioned who have been around here for a couple of years, it's, I'd love for one of them to maybe finally step up and break out. But, and if they do, that's great. But it's hard to just sit here right now and, I mean, there's no evidence to suggest that either one of them is ready to do that.
Another point too, Chris, and kind of going back, that's a great point you made about what happened at Wake when they lost their top two guys, and obviously Wake Forest and they had a good year, but they're not going to have the depth that the consistent top 10, top 15 teams are going to have. But for anybody, I remember hearing John Gruden say this once on a Monday night game. He said, you know, you hear all this next man up. Well, all that sounds good and all, but – and maybe you can survive one guy. But those guys were starters for a reason. They're your best guys. And I don't care how much depth you've got. When you lose that first guy, and then if you lose two guys and three guys, and, you know, you think about Georgia when we lost Cager and then Pickens got suspended and then Blaylock got hurt, all of a sudden you look at that next man up, you're way down the depth chart. So it Wake Forest, you know, heck, even with two other future first-rounders, if Bama would have had – its two best wide receivers go down last year, it would have had a huge effect. And they've got two other guys who are going to be first-round picks this year that are going to step in there. And the other thing, too, is that when your number three all of a sudden has to be your number one, well, again, not too many people have, a Jalen Waddle or a Devontae Smith as their number three. It's kind of like in a lineup, again, going back to Wake's situation, if your four and five hole hitters are all of a sudden hurt and out, maybe you can survive with your six guy hitting cleanup, but then all of a sudden seven and eight are hitting five and six, and just that trickle-down effect through the lineup is going to be crippling.
Yeah, next man up can maybe get you through a game.
Right.
And maybe even the next week.
Right.
But you know, eventually it's going to come crashing down. Like I was a couple, you know, talking about baseball, it was – well, like a couple seasons ago, Freddie got hit by a pitch and was out for a month.
You're not going to get another Freddie Freeman just to step up.
Right, but so the Braves did get that Matt Adams from St. Louis, and he came in and for about 3 weeks was just raking, hitting homers, and then all of a sudden, like, yeah, I mean, that well dried up. You're like, no, we need Freddie back now. So it was next man up for a while, but to a certain point then, if like you're the Braves and you don't have Freddie Freeman in your lineup for several months, then you've got no shot. And it's the same way in football. You might be able to get through one weekend or the remainder of a game, but long term, you're in trouble.
You're in big trouble. And again, that's what, in a baseball scenario, that's why you're praying, like in Freeman's situation, they did at least make the playoffs. You're saying like, oh please, oh please, oh please, let us just survive this and have a chance when he gets back. Because, you know, without him, you're not winning the whole thing. Maybe you can survive if he's only out for a while. And like you said with Freeman, it was right at a month. Maybe you can survive long enough to, you know, at least get him back and then give you a crack. But you get a frontline guy, I mean, in any sport, go down with a season-ending injury. Well, let's just look at the NBA Finals last year. If Golden State's healthy – with all due respect to Toronto, Golden State wins that series.
Yeah, but they were down Klay Thompson. They were down Durant.
And Curry had just come back, right? I mean,
yeah.
they were a shell of themselves.
Yeah. I mean, the team that, you know, they had, I guess they still had Draymond too, but they ended up getting beaten.
Which is another, when Draymond's your number four, that's big time.
Right. But for a while this year, he was their number one.
Yeah,
right?
Which
is why they now have the worst record in the NBA. They're going to end up with, I guess, either James Wiseman or maybe the Ant-Man. Who knows?
I think Ant-Man playing with Curry and Thompson would be cool because he is an unselfish kid, and he can score. that's a really good combo to have in a system like what Golden State does with Steve Kerr.
Yeah. I just like I don't know enough about Wiseman as a seven-footer. I because we didn't really get to see him play much this year. I know he's not just one of those throwback bangers, right. which is pretty much since Shaq is a relic now when it comes to basketball. If you've got a seven-footer, they've got to be able to step out and, you know, like Nowitzki or something and hit threes and everything. So if Wiseman is a guy like that, then I get like, yeah, I would take him because there just aren't a lot of people walking around the earth that are that size that can do things like that. But if he is just your traditional, like, yeah, I'm a post player seven-footer, then I'd take the Ant-Man.
Yeah, I think Edwards would fit tremendously well with them. Plus, he had reclassified. He was only, I don't know when his birthday is, but I believe he was 18 for at least most of this past season.
Yeah, he should have been a senior in high school last year. Yeah,
correct.
All right, we'll take a little break here, a word from our sponsor, and then come back with part two of the Crossover Podcast presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen. And we'll talk a little bit about, on the subject of baseball, the 60-game MLB season that is in store for us. Chris and Jeff with you. The Crossover Podcast presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen here on 960theref.com and the 960 The Ref app.
You know it's just a matter of time before you'll want some comfort food, like a big ooey-gooey pizza or juicy wings. But you can curb those cravings with Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen's curbside service. Just go to fullyloaded.pizza and pay by credit card. Then once you arrive, call them with your name and car description. They'll bring all your comforting favorites out to you. Get comfort food curbside with Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen at Five Points in Athens and off Mars Hill Road in Watkinsville.
Podcast part two presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville. Also check them out in Five Points in the old Waffle House location. So we do finally have that we're going to have a Major League Baseball season. It will only be 60 games long, which is going to be strange. It's already been strange to see win totals have popped, and you see these teams with, you know, totals in the 20s and 30s, and also an over-under of 20 for the for home runs. Like the most home runs that will be hit will a guy have go more than 20 or under 20 in over 60 games. So, of course, I've already gone back and looked at that. There were three guys last year. Two were right at 20 through 60 games. There was one at 22, and I believe in 2018, Aaron Judge was at 20 through 60 games, the only one. And then I kept going back, 17, 16, 15, no one had gotten to 20 through 60 games, because that would basically stretch out to about, what, 54 homers in a 162-game season?
Yeah, that's 60 games is close to a third. 54 is a third, so yeah, so 20 would be the number. That'd be like somebody having between 55 and 60 in a 162-game season.
So it's like, what? 20 home runs, yeah, that's not that many, right? You're like, yeah, no, that's probably a...
That's a lot.
Yeah, that's a strong under over just a 60-game season. So it's just going to be strange to see league leaders, like, who led the league in home runs? Well, this guy, and he hit 17.
Be like the stats before Babe Ruth started banging. Oh, home run Baker. We had nine, led the league.
Yeah. There you go. So, and it's just even at the end of the, you know, if you're talking about, like, the Braves are 33.5 for their win total. So let's say they go over that, then that puts them, that would be 34-26, right?
That's a heck of a year.
So eight games over 500 is all it's going to take to probably, if you have 34 wins, you're probably going to win the division.
Probably so, because you figure that would add out to about 22 over 500, which would be 92-70.
Yeah.
You're in. I mean,
but that's going to be strange to look and just say, like, 8 over 500 in a baseball season. It's going to be good enough to win a division.
Now, you know that there's going to be, in some arbitration, these owners are going to get some shrewd guys. Well, hey, like, you know, your guy Braves asked for one. You know, we only had 37 RBIs. You know, all we're looking at is raw data here.
Yeah.
So it is going to be intriguing to see how some of these numbers bear out. And Chris, I think the big thing that we talked about on our afternoon show is how the pitching's going to set up. especially if we see a bunch of two-game series, if that's what they decide. Like, if you're a Braves fan, can Atlanta get lucky and dodge the aces enough times? And then you're also going to have the ability to have your number one go out and throw, say, as opposed to in a given year, 20 to 22% of your starts. Maybe he gets 26 to 30% of your starts. Because, I mean, 60 games in 70 days, they'll be able to work that, I'm sure. You know, and we have kind of gone through the math where you can really maximize having your guys out there.
I would think, too, the thinking about the Braves, too, with Soroka, who is, I believe he's still 22. Maybe he'll turn 23 at some point during the 60-game season. But I would think, like, a younger arm like that, too, is – better suited to basically just go all in on for a shorter period of time. When you think about the Nationals, you got Scherzer and Strasburg as your top two there, but they're older guys. Like, I mean, they might not be as equipped to be able to pitch that many times and make that many starts in a condensed season, but the Braves could just, they could wear Soroka out. No, like, you're going to have a full offseason after that to get back at it.
Now, and plus all these guys, everybody's going to be on the same page here, but guys are going to come in with fresh arms. And, you know, I think what could be the key for Atlanta, because if you do look at the top of that Nationals rotation, I mean, that 1-2 punch is exceptional. And the Mets have a really good 1-2 punch as well, and the Phillies. But the potential there, I mean, when you're talking about a couple of guys who have been, you know, Cy Young Award winners, what could Cole Hamels and King Felix Hernandez give Atlanta?
Yeah. Like, those are two guys already in their mid-30s, and, you know, both you'd figure, in fact, King Felix was pretty much going to be done, that they'd be the ones, yeah, you'd think, like, yeah, they could contribute
season.
Something. Yeah, but, I mean, I don't know. It's either on one end, can he just go all out, though, and this might be my last shot at it anywhere? Do you want to try and manage him, knowing maybe he won't be able to keep up as much stress as one of the younger guys does? Plus, I mean, Soroka is going to be their best arm. I'd throw him as much as I could.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, as opposed to what they did in the postseason last year. Did you hear they were losing their last game last year 10-0 after one inning?
Yeah. Did Soroka start that game, though? That do or die?
Let me check the old. No, he did not. There.
Yeah.
He did not.
It was old Folty.
So, you know, another guy for Atlanta, I think that we're keeping an eye on here, because the feeling certainly was that Kyle Wright would be a guy they would want to fast track to the majors. So is he going to be somebody who, presuming he makes the roster, is he going to be somebody that's just straight out of the bullpen? Because that bullpen's deep. Or is he going to be somebody, you know, maybe for some of these games, again, to maximize the starts for your guys, are you going to maybe try and bridge some of these starts to, quote-unquote, pitch backwards? So could he kind of go, for lack of a better term, halvesies in some of these games? So I think Wright's a guy who is, and not as much maybe this year, but just looking forward, he's vital to the future of this staff, because you certainly feel good with Soroka and Fried for long term, and I think Fultonevich has got, you know, he's certainly shown enough that could he be a guy, he's not going to be a number one, but could he be a guy who could be your number four? Sure. But I think the Braves need to, I would guess their front office, they want to have a pretty good opinion on how good Kyle Wright is, I would say, by no later than 2021.
Yeah. And that's where, like, this year, as far as just evaluating where you are as a franchise, it's almost like, let's just say the Braves somehow bottomed out and only won, like, 25 games. Like, what, I mean, why do you take that? I mean, it really, to me, it wouldn't say, like, boy, this team really, they had their shot, no. Now it's closed. It's just, it's a weird type of season. And, I mean, you really can't draw any conclusions from it.
Well, and the X factor, too, what you were just mentioning with Freddie Freeman, if a frontline player does go down and has to miss 2 weeks, well, instead of 14 out of 162, that's 14 out of 60.
Yeah.
That's a huge blow.
And I know they're allowing the taxi squad, but that's where we're at. It's like, talking about going down and missing 2 weeks, like, you're in New York and, hey, Freeman, you tested positive for COVID, and then you're without him for 2 weeks at least.
Right.
Then,
yeah, I'm sure that's something that, you know, every team is going to have to deal with here, and that's just where I think the depth this year will probably show more than anything. And like we've said with the Braves, if you look at them, Bramer, they don't really have any weaknesses. I mean, I'm not saying they're the big red machine or the 27 Yankees, but you know, they've got solid to good starting pitching. They've got a good deep bullpen. I mean, the lineup is good. The top three is exceptional. And the defense, especially, I think, with having the DH now, when you got no problem putting Inciarte in center field every day, Freeman, to me, he's one of the best first basemen I've ever seen. And Swanson's got a good glove. Albies has exceptional range. So defensively, they're outstanding as well.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the scenario now, knowing that in extra innings, whoever makes the last out in the previous inning gets put on second base. So if you've got some speedster up there batting, hey, strike out on purpose.
That's not necessarily the worst strategy.
If there's like two outs, nobody on, strike out on purpose, and you're at second next inning.
And let's say Inciarte, if I'm Atlanta, I'd probably have him hitting ninth. He's got good wheels, kind of have him as that second leadoff guy. And if it just happened to go through like that, you got two outs, nobody on, it's a 3-3 game, he makes a last out, it's like, not the worst thing in the world. Then let's say
Acuna leads off with him on second.
There you go.
Yeah.
And let's say Shane Green then comes in and throws a scoreless 10th, and then all of a sudden,
yeah, ball game.
Here's Inciarte at second, and now you got Acuna up, and because you know what you play to do. You play to win the game, and there's a big difference in that spot from, let's say, Inciarte. Now, obviously, if you were to hit a home run in the scenario, you win the game. But, you know, having him at first with two outs as opposed to being at second with nobody out.
Yeah. And then it's weird because then Acuna's at the plate. But really, if it's the bottom half and you need one run to win, like Acuna needs to be bunting him to third.
Right.
And then
they'll walk Albies, and then you got Freeman.
Then you got Freeman. So what do you do, walk Freeman, load the bases?
And the iffy thing about that is you try and, you know, we're up 0-2, throw a breaking ball, you hit the guy in the foot, and it's game over.
Yeah.
I just walk in to load. And I get it if it's second and third and there's nobody out. But if you got first and third, that's a dangerous play to walk to load him, because one of my favorite misnomers, there's no place to put him. Actually, there is.
Yeah, there's home plate. Jeff, good job pinch hitting.
Yeah, buddy.
And yeah, hey, go to.
I was the next man.
You were the next man up. Go to Fully Loaded. Tell him you pinch hit, maybe, and you've earned a free pie.
Well, maybe they'll give me a slice.
All right, they'll give you a slice anyway. Thanks to Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville, also in Five Points. Again, subscribe anytime on iTunes and you'll get us as soon as we drop a new episode every week. You can also listen on demand to 960theref.com or download the 960 The Ref app. Find that in the App Store if you're an iPhone user, or Google Play if you're on the Android. For Jeff, I am Chris. This has been the Crossover Podcast presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen here on 960theref.com and the 960 The Ref app.
You've been listening to The Crossover, presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen on 960theref.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.